Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh my goodness, it is now 8:06 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. This half hour, the phone lines are open for you at 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. We can talk about a whole bunch of stuff, all the stuff we've already talked about in the 7 o'clock hour. If you want to talk politics, whatever you want to talk about, let's have the conversation. 651-989-9226 locally. Let's go over to Julie calling in from Minneapolis. Hey, Julie.
Hi. See, thanks for taking my call. I just realized something, Geraldine. You're a heck of a lot cheaper than a psychiatrist. And if I'm gonna talk about my anxiety, thank God I don't have to pay no $300 an hour. Whatever.
Yeah, right. Right.
Oh,
you and I both have that anxiety, honey. It's been hitting me lately.
Yeah, me too. It's been hitting. I've kind of gotten over Barrett because I know nothing can be done. I would say the New York Times put it best in the front page story. Charles Koch, founder of, you know, Federalist Society, finally got the Supreme Court he wanted after 50 years. So,
wow.
I've gone into the depressive hole and I've climbed out. But my real anxiety, I'll tell you what, I'd like your response to this. You know, you look at the attack on the post office, you look at the voter suppression. You look at Trump and his Russia, are you listening? Maybe he's saying Iran, are you listening too? I don't know. But you look at all those things, and the one gift that our president has, he may lack many, many gifts, but he is a great salesman.
Right.
And he's a great closer. And what I'm specifically referring to in 2016, if you can remember, you know, about 2 weeks before the election, I mean, Trump was going to five different cities a day. He'd
right.
stop in the airport. I mean, he was running around like the Energizer Bunny. And Hillary, yeah, she'd go one place here, one place there. And I get the feeling that Trump is, you know, he's better at hustling towards the end of the election. And that's one of my concern. And you add that with the attack on the post office and all the other things. And that's got me kind of hyper. What do you think?
It is very, it's disturbing, because here's the deal. If it is being stolen, I mean, we've already heard from our, you know, those that protect us and, you know all that's going on behind the scenes. They've already told us that we have three countries that are coming after our elections. And you don't hear a whole lot talking about that. Not even Google, not even Facebook. They just hardly say anything about it. That's frustrating for me, because we know the intelligence community is out there trying their best to figure out what's going on and to stop it. And so my anxiety comes from, no matter what Trump does, is he going to win? No matter what, if he lies his way through it or whatever it is he going to win by stealing it? Because what did we do back in 2016 when we found out that they were completely involved in our election? Do you remember what we did?
Not a heck of a lot.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it was too late at that time.
What about, okay, now you're being kind. You have to walk a fine line. You're on the radio. You have Republicans that are fans of yours. You have Democrats. But let's be honest here, people. The attack on the post office was not the Democrats. It was Republicans. The voter suppression all over the country that's gone on for 100 years, it's the Republicans, not the Democrats. So, you know, you're focused on the foreign countries, and you're right to be. But, honey, we got enemies within our borders to wreck up our vote. And I'll just hang up and listen. I know you got a lot of people that want to talk to you. Thanks for being a good psychiatrist.
I sure. Thanks, Julie, for listening. I sure appreciate it. You know, the amazing thing about this, Chris, when you start to really think about how bad it is, because my problem with Mr. Trump is that he doesn't care. He never cares what happens to us. He never cares that we're fighting one another. He doesn't care that, you know, so many of us are dying and contracting COVID-19. He doesn't care if we have all of the PPEs or the essential workers have everything that they need to protect themselves to make sure that they can keep taking care of us. He doesn't care. So whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you could just look at him as a person, just a person, not the president, just a person, and help me understand how do you vote for this man? And if you do, that's you. You have every right to vote for whomever you want. And I have every right to vote for whomever mm-hmm. I want. But it really freaks me out that just looking at the model of the man is, just looking at who he is, I don't understand it. Do you?
No, I don't. And when it was 2016, people wanted, they didn't want a career politician. I mean, right, that was it's like, we want something different.
Oh, we got something different.
We got something different. But now after 4 years, I don't know how people can look at what's going on and say that what he has brought to the table has enhanced our life in any way, shape, or form.
How do you define our life?
That's just it, because it becomes so subjective. The way that I see things, Geraldine, I mean, I see them from, I see the pandemic, I see people losing their jobs, I see the racial inequalities, and I mean, we see all of that. It doesn't affect me, a white man, like it would, you know, you or your family, or, you know, I work with Lake quite a bit. I see all of that, and I just, I'm just so frustrated by, like you mentioned, the lack of sympathy, the lack of empathy for people. It's like, how can you not look at this and know that the country itself is hurting and you have no desire to make it better? You want to make it worse. He doesn't want to make this better. I mean, just today, Mark Meadows, I believe his chief of staff, just said that we can't control the coronavirus. We are not going to be able to control the virus. Well, that's what we knew back in March, but it was the ostrich, the head in the sand. And everything has gotten exponentially worse every step of the way.
See, I don't think that he has the ostrich head in the sand. I really don't. I think that what he thinks getting better is where that's the only thing he thinks about, what he believes getting better is. You know, he'll say the economy is doing great, the market is doing great. Well, the market doesn't affect me. I don't know if it affects you, but it doesn't affect me. So most Americans, and we're losing jobs. I don't care if you give all of this money, the stimulus money, to the airlines, right? The American people that have lost their jobs and that are really hurting, that have, what is it, like another 30% of Americans have made it to poverty mm-hmm. since 2016. My God, then if you look at that as being better, how do you converse with a person like that? How do you have the conversation with the president at the dinner table that would say, no, we're doing great?
Yeah, and that's the question, because I don't talk about the stock market with my wife. I don't talk about the stock market with my family. I don't talk about this, you know, laptop that, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop, and I'm using the quotations. We don't talk about that. I mean, we're talking about real life situations, and President Trump does not live in the real world. He doesn't live in the world that you and I, or I would say a good majority of our WCCO listeners, live in. You know, I don't know why. And I know there are some that are going to be dyed in the wool that will follow him, you know, no matter what he says. But it just seems like everything that we are dealing with, the president has no interest in wanting to help us. And that's the frustrating part, because he's had all this time and he's done nothing that I feel for the betterment of my life or my 10-year-old. I mean, she's going to be in a much worse spot than than we were, you know, 4 years ago.
And I don't even think that he doesn't know. I think what he doesn't know is we exist. I think he only sees from his own purview, right? His own porch, or perch, I should say. Mm-hmm. He's looking out at the world from a very high perch that I haven't reached yet. And if you have, then maybe you can understand that. But if I'm not in that perch with him, if we're not up there, how does he see us? How does he understand who we are? How does he know what we're going through? That is my absolute fear with this particular president. I don't believe he has the understanding of who we are as a country. And maybe at one time he did. I don't know. I don't know what has happened. But anyone that can sit down and go, he's great for me. And I do know that there are wealthy people saying that. There's one of the people from Shark Tank that was on television recently. And he wrote an article even about, hey, I want Trump in. I want Trump in because I'm going to make more money. We didn't used to be that country.
Mm-hmm.
We were the country that said, if I'm doing better, I want you to do better. Let's all, you know, go up the ladder. Let's all go up the ladder together. You know, one rung at a time. And this man was saying out loud, I want Trump in so I can make more money. It's been great for me.
We are nothing but a statistic. We're numbers. I mean, we are faceless, nameless entities. Case in point, the 225,000 people that have died because of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are not names to him. Those are just little... You know, those are little footnotes in American history to him. It doesn't matter what happens to the American public as long as President Trump and the GOP get what they want. That's my impression. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like they've abandoned the American people. And that sounds really hyperbolic to say, but I feel like we've been abandoned because there's been no plan for a lot of the downward spiral that we're in. There's been no plan to stop and go the other way. I mean, we don't have a plan. I mean, we're told to just live with it. You know, it is what it is. That shouldn't be the way that we have to live. We should not have to live with this deadly virus that we could have been, it could have been under control months ago, but they didn't want to do anything because it would, I don't know, would it be an inconvenience to them? I don't know.
Well, when the president kept saying it is what it is, I cannot stand that term, that phrase, because we can't look at life like that. If we could have said 400 years ago, right, you know, it is what it is, I wouldn't be on this radio station, right? I wouldn't be able to go into a restaurant, you know, even 70 years ago, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to just have white friends. And so we can't stop and say it is what it is. Because it doesn't have to be. We can change it. All we have to do is work together. We can change it. And my fear is that, will we ever work together again? Will we ever work together again? Okay, here's another question for you. Do you believe that the Democrats, if they were to get in, should stack the courts?
I don't think they should. I don't like the idea of court packing. I understand why it's coming up. As, you know, maybe a means to offset what the Republicans are trying to doing. But I'm not a fan of the term court packing, but I understand why they're trying to do it.
I don't like the term, but I do like the idea in the sense that in order for us to remain a democracy, I mean, right now we are turning back what people fought for decades and decades for, you know, only because one group of people says, hey, I don't want that anymore, so let's get rid of that. You know, to take away somebody's health care during a pandemic, you know, these are things that are on the docket. These are things that they're discussing. Let's get rid of that Affordable Care Act. And what are they going to do? Are they going to turn around, take it away, you know, get rid of it, and then come back 3 months later and give the exact same health insurance but putting it under their name.
But they
what they're planning?
They haven't come up with anything, though.
Nothing.
We've heard a lot of empty talk. It's been a lot of, oh, this is right around the corner. It's coming. We've had 3.5 years of, I'm going to abolish Obamacare and I'm going to replace it with something better. Well, when is that going to happen? You haven't come up with anything. There's been nothing that has been put on the table. Nothing. It has been all just kicking the can down the road. And that's what's been the most frustrating thing.
It's been so frustrating. My gosh.
Yes. And it's just, it is a lot of the same. I feel like we're spinning our wheels and we're rolling the odometer back. We're going backwards in time. And we need to stop that. We need to stop and we need to start going forward again, because I'm tired of the same old, I'm tired of the same old baseless, empty rhetoric.
Well said. We got to take a break and we'll be back in a moment.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It is now 8:24 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And as we wrap up this half hour, I have so many questions and so many challenges to things that have been written in newspapers, books that have been put out on all sides. It's just been overwhelming. And I am wondering if any of us are considering what is going to happen when whomever wins, wins. What will happen? What will happen if President Trump loses? Are we prepared? Do you remember 2016 when the students in the schools, they went back to school right after the election? And of course, the president had been found out that he was on that bus. Remember that bus? And he was talking about touching women's private and, you know, you could do it because you were wealthy. There were students, boys that came back to these high schools around the country touching girls in their private places because they could. They felt like, hey, this president says it's cool. We can do this. That happened around the country. Around the country. So here we are with another election coming up next week. And if he doesn't win, and he says, you know, it's a rigged election, if I don't get in, it's rigged. And, you know, is he going to leave the office and do what he's supposed to do? What are we to do about it? What are we expecting to happen in our schools, whether they are public or private, after November 3rd? Are we preparing for that? Have parents started talking to their students and preparing them, saying, hey, if you notice this is happening on your campus, do this, do that, move here, go find a place to, you know, where you're safe. Are we having that conversation? Are you even thinking about it? I don't have any children that are in high school or elementary school. I have grandchildren, but not in high school or college. So have you thought about having that conversation with them? I don't care what color you are. All of us that have children, grandchildren, your guardians of children, teenagers specifically, going back to their schools after this election, depending on how the results are and in whose favor they're in, have a conversation, because it happened in 2016. Don't let it surprise us this time. We know what happened. The president's words are powerful, whether he's a president that you love or one that I love. The words are powerful. And this president has already said, if I don't win, it's been stolen. Think about that. And what does that lead to? What does that mean? So many times we've tried to talk about it here on Still Talking about, hey, do you think it's going to be a civil war? Do you think they're trying to start a civil war? Okay, it's obviously that, yes, there have been signs that there are those who want to start a civil war. For God's sake, don't forget that the governor of Michigan, they wanted to kidnap her and kill her. This is not a joke. This is where we live. This is these United States. I know it sounds like you're in some other country far flung from here, but it's not. It's us. That's how serious this is. So if you're sitting at home trying to figure out, oh, do I really have to vote? My vote didn't count the last time. You not voting is a vote for someone. I'm begging you, please vote and prepare your family, prepare your community, prepare for what could happen. It's better to be prepared for what could happen than to not be prepared. That I do know. So coming up at 8:35, we're going to visit with a man named Steele Smiley. Yeah, Steele, just like me, spells his name just like me, the whole thing. And he has a whole bunch of Steele fitness facilities. And every time I've passed it, or every time I've been in a car with someone and we drove past the one in St. Paul on Grand Avenue, they'll say, oh, is that your family member? I said, you guys are into fitness like that? I'm going, look at me. No. So I'm really excited to finally meet the person that carries this name and owns these fitness facilities and so much more. Listen, stay tuned to what all he does. It's really exciting. We'll be back in just a moment.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is now 8:32 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. What a pleasure it is to have my next guest. With a name like Steele, he has to be cool, right? I mean, Steele Smiley joins me now on CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline to talk about his entrepreneurial spirit. And you may also have visited one of his Steele fitness facilities or now even perhaps one of the 7 crisp and green locations. We're going to talk about that more later in the interview, but oh my goodness, welcome to Steele Talking, Steele Smiley. How you doing?
Steele with Steele. It's my pleasure to be on with you this evening.
Okay, first of all, I've been asked about your fitness facilities, and people say, oh, is that part of your family? Must be your family. That I'm like, look at me, honey. No, I'm not into fitness yet. And so,
I don't believe that. And people have asked me whether we're related, believe it or not. They said the Steels and the whole thing. Everyone confuses it, but it's nice to finally meet you virtually, by the way.
You too. I'm so glad that you're joining us tonight. So tell us how you came to be the Steele Fitness.
You know, I was actually classically trained to be an investment banker. So I had nothing to do with fitness other than a personal passion. I was a Division I All-American swimmer through college. And, you know, I really wanted to spend some time in fitness because I felt like at the time in the early 2000s, which is dating me here a little bit, you could really get a big box experience where you had kind of the room full of equipment without a lot of special programming. And, you know, when I started, people credit Steele Fitness as being one of the first businesses in the fitness industry that was that boutique trend. You know, we were way ahead of the curve, and now you know, that's all you see. But in early 2000, you know, we were credited as one of the first. So it was a unique model at the time, certainly not unique today. 20 years later.
What I also find quite interesting, you went to the people. You found them, or they found you, and you built your clientele pretty quickly. And even you're still building it today, whether you're going to them directly or they're coming in to see you or they're doing a combination of the two. How much more time do you put into that, or have you kind of moved away from doing more of going to find those clients?
You know, the reality is, and most people don't realize this, I sold my entire chain in late 2013, and so my first large transaction at the time. I'm not sure the business model today. I know, you know, my entire team. You know, we had, boy, I don't know, 7 or 8 locations and 150 employees or so, and I don't know the details of that business today. I'm completely out of the fitness business, but at least you know, through my ownership. But I know the business still remains. I know it's busy. I know they've made the changes to kind of stay in business and be successful. And I think today the majority of the business, unfortunately, is not to the homes. I think it is built, you know, predominantly, you know, studio based, which is fine, but it's a pretty big departure the way I left the business when I left, you know, almost 6 years ago.
Do you miss it?
You know, I certainly miss the fitness business. I'm a fitness consumer. You know, I work out twice a day, every day, and I have for pretty much my whole adult life. But I certainly realize today is not the time to be in the fitness business. So for that sake, I feel very fortunate, to be honest with you.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And so here you are. You've moved on. Was the first thing you did was get into Crisp and Green?
You know, I ran, so the company that bought my company, we were private equity purchased, which is not always the great experience, but it certainly worked out well. I ran that kind of a global fitness conglomerate for 4.5 years. So my company was one of, you know, 4 different fitness companies that were purchased. We ended up with about 2,000 locations across 4 concepts in 25 countries. We were the world's largest at the time, and I left and resigned in March of of 2017 and I had made an investment in Crispin Green. And so my plan with Crispin Green was really never for global domination or for anything other than just simply to provide at least the community that I started with in Wayzata an opportunity to have healthy food right there. And I knew that if I could build one and make it special, it's something that I could, you know, add more locations. Little did I know how fast it would grow and how much opportunity, you know, we would have in that business. But, it started out really as just a place for me to have dinner.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. You've really been blessed because you had two industries here. The fitness industry was crowded, but you were successful. Also, the healthy food industry was starting to really get bigger and bigger and bigger, yet you were able to, in 2017, grow the business. And look at you now. You're even expanding. So tell us, how did you decide what Crispin Green would be, the branding of it, like you branded those Steel Fitness facilities? The branding of it is important to you. It's important to anyone who's starting a business. So how did that work for you?
You know, for me, the Steel name was an early 20s kind of a mistake in the sense of, you know, I wanted something that I figured it'd be a location and it was named after the guy. And I learned that, you know, my ego certainly has changed a lot in 15 years. And Crispin Green, you know, I wanted to have nothing to do with me because the reality of it is I didn't know how people would take a fitness guy, you know, who started with nothing and then ended up running the largest wellness company in the world and then back into food. It didn't make sense. And I didn't know if people would support it. And so, you know, it took me almost a year and a half to come out as the owner of the business because I didn't know how people would react to it. So, you know, we did it quietly. We didn't do a big grand opening. And it worked. But, you know, I had people in the restaurant business tell me I was crazy. I had many people tell me I wouldn't be successful. And the reality of it is that, you know, you surround yourself with amazing, hardworking people who you share a common vision with, and you can really do anything. And I kind of look at myself as agnostic to the industry. You know, put me anywhere and I'll find a way to make it work. But I certainly believed in healthy eating. I know that your life can be so much more positive when you make great food choices every day. And so I started there and decided to build an entire thesis and business around just that very idea.
And so for you, it's all about lifestyle, right? It's how you want to eat healthy. You want to be healthy. You want to work out. You want to do all of these things. And then you come together. Now, when I lived out in L.A., I felt guilty every day because I was surrounded by that type of, brand, right? There was healthy food places everywhere. In Minnesota, it's a little different. You know, we like our hot dishes and that sort of thing. So was that difficult initially to get it off the ground, Crispin Green?
You know, when I started with this idea of a healthy kind of fast casual restaurant, there were less than 150 of these types of restaurants made up of about seven or eight different chains in the United States. And so it was a very emerging trend, similar to the way boutique fitness was in the early 2000s, you know. And I ultimately believe that healthy eating will be, you know, on most corners all around the United States within 10 years from now. But it still isn't today. And, you know, the interesting part about, you know, making great food choices is that, you know, you've got access to that on the coast. You know, you've got it on the West Coast and the East Coast, but not in the Midwest. And I find that difficult because we, you know, we're a sophisticated group of people out here. We should have the same options that you have in L.A. or D.C. or New York. And, you know, if I have to bring it here, that's kind of what happened. And I honestly, as a consumer, I wanted it. We didn't have access to it, so I just built it.
Yeah, which is fantastic. But you have a lot of competition here, but you're succeeding. I used to pass by the one on Washington over and over again. That restaurant has been called so many different things. It's been different restaurants for a couple of decades. And then I drove past and I went, Crispin Green's. Crispin Green.
Yeah.
What is that? You know, I kept trying to figure it out. And then, of course, you know, I'd have people in the car with me. And the next time we drive past it, all of a sudden we ask the same question. So I was really excited to talk to you tonight because you do call it a fast casual restaurant. What's the difference between that and some of your competitors?
You know, the reality of it is that we kind of compete with a whole host of different things from, you know, the grab and go case at the local supermarket to, you know, maybe that pizza that maybe you were going to order tonight instead of making a good healthy food choice. But the reality of it is there's still not a lot of great choices to make great scratch-made healthy food every day. And so, you know, and certainly with the time that we're in today, which I'm sure we'll get into this, it's even more difficult to be successful in this industry. And so for me, it was really about building something that was walkable in your neighborhood or within a short drive, maybe 2 miles. It was fast. You could get it for, you know, you could get in and out of there. You know, if you purchase on our app, you can just walk up and take it away. You can have it delivered, or you can get in and out within, you know, 5 or 6 minutes. And third, that it was affordable. I mean, you can get a scratch-made quality meal that was built that day with all, you know, great tasting food that's low calorie but doesn't feel that way, right? You would never know unless I said it, you know, for under $10. And so, you know, it was something that it had to have all those components. And that North Loop store actually was at tonight. You know, it's still busy, and you know, we get told this all the time, and I'll be in that store for 10 years, but the reality of it was that you're correct. I mean, it had been 5 or 6 different restaurants, and sometimes it's not the location that's the problem, it's the concept. And for us, it was about delivering on all the executed items and making sure people are smiling when you walk in. The food is fresh, you know, the brand is right, the price is correct. And so in the restaurant business, as opposed to the fitness business, everything has to be correct. And our job every day is to make it all those touch points the best they can every single day, no matter what, snow, rain, whatever, we're going to make it great for you.
Do you know how remarkable it is that Crisp and Green is thriving during this pandemic and North Loop restaurants have been hit so hard? I'm just blown away. What is your secret?
I appreciate that. You know, we had our record month last month, and the answer is I take almost no credit for it. I honestly think it is, you know, my hardworking team, and many people don't know this story, but you know, during COVID, during that time when those first weeks came out, you know, my team came to me. We've got a director team of 7 or 8, and, you know, maybe 300 employees here in Minneapolis, but maybe 7 or 8 people that I see every single day, and they said, "Steele, no matter what, we're going to get through this." And we knew at that point it could be the end of the business, or it could be a pivot point for us to do something special. And so my team, we all decided to, you know, work together. You know, we all quarantined. We spent time with our families, and we never left the office. We never went virtual. We decided to just double down. We worked 6 days a week instead of 5. Everyone came in on Saturdays. We just kept making modifications where we can. And, you know, 6 months, 7 months later, you know, we're 30% plus in staff. We've actually added staff. We've got job openings like crazy. And you know, we're growing, but it has little to do with the founder than it does to the people that are in it every single day who agreed to, you know, work this hard to innovate and help push the brand forward when most people were, you know, just trying to sort of survive. I give them all the credit.
Right. I'll say now the national expansion is going to start, and you're starting in Dallas?
Dallas, Texas. Absolutely.
Wow. That's awesome, man. That is really awesome. Tell us about the others as well. Tell us how you decided on where to expand first.
You know, we're a franchise system. And so, you know, I've built 3 restaurants here in Minneapolis that I own and operate, and I'm in charge, you know, for everything that has my brand on it, you know, nationwide. And so, you know, we meet wonderful entrepreneurs. You meet them every single week. They come in, they talk to us about where they want to open. You know, we had a fantastic group that said they wanted to be in Dallas, Texas. We had groups that came in from North Dakota, South Dakota, from Iowa. You know, we have groups who are meeting from all over the country that are passionate about making great choices and building this chain. And so, you know, the irony of COVID was, you know, we hadn't met any of these groups prior to that moment. So, you know, a lot of people looked at our brand and said, great, great brand, you know, healthy food, it's going to work in Minneapolis, but how are they going to survive this? And, you know, we came in, we told them our story, and they saw how our stores were performing, you know, with increased performance after this, you know, horrific pandemic. And they said, I want to be a part of that brand. And so, it's actually, oddly enough, you know, we feel very fortunate, but it has accelerated our growth. And so we had a great entrepreneur in Dallas who's opening stores there, and so hopefully he'll be surrounded by 2 or 3 more that'll continue to keep opening, and off we go. I mean, we're 30-some units and counting at this point, and, you know, we just started, what, three and a half years ago.
What I've learned about you so far, sir, is that you are very measured in your decisions, but there has to be something that has really surprised you on this journey.
You know, what surprised me is that, you know, and this is an interesting caveat, people, need to help people more. And this idea that, you know, I heard it in your last segment of, you know, we are all in this together. And the reality of it is that what surprised me as a guy that's not from the restaurant business, who many people thought should never be in the restaurant business, that wouldn't succeed in the restaurant business, to have other restaurateurs reach out and say, Steele, what are you doing? And how can we work together to be successful? I don't want Crispin Green to be successful because we're the last man standing. I want Crispin Green to be successful because, you know, because we're the best at what we do. But I believe we're a healthier ecosystem where everyone is also successful and can make it. And so, you know, I've told the restaurant business, you all have my support. I mean, whatever I did to help get there, I'll continue to help others. And what surprised me is that a restaurant business is so competitive. I never thought I'd hear from restaurateurs, but every week I get calls and I answer them all and I return them all. And I think as a society, we could do a lot better job of keeping each other propped up during this time, because that's what it takes to get our country through. And I really hope that it is happening in other industries outside of mine.
All right, sir, this is my final question.
Yeah.
I am getting a master's degree right now in leadership and innovation, and I've been learning about design. And when it comes to restaurants, how you design, how it's defined, the story that you're trying to tell is so important, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So where did you begin when it was Crispin Green? I mean, you told me your story about how you wanted to eat healthy. You wanted to keep eating the way you ate. So why not open it up for everyone?
Yeah.
But then what was the story that was being told in the design to those that walk through the store? They walk into the restaurant. What is the story they see?
First time I've been asked that question, but there's honestly no more important question than that one. People react to design. They react to the name. They react to the logo. How does it make me feel? They react to the colors. You know, we went through 700 names before we came up with the name Crispin Green. And, you know, it was largely owned. We had to go through and modify it and get the trademarks and all these types of things. And then the design of the store, you know, I spent time in restaurants all over the world. And for me, I had, unfortunately, this round had the ability to travel, and I did, and I spent time in everyone's restaurants, not our sector, but restaurants full service, other types of industries, other types of food, and I really took the design cues that were important to me, and what I wanted to get across to the consumer was that it was fresh and built every single day. The other thing that's critical about design is you got to keep updating it. And so our next evolution of our stores will feature all the groceries and sort of showing how it's, you know, all the produce is displayed, because that food is cooked fresh every single day right in front of you. So I wish you luck with your process. You're studying the right things, and boy, design, it means everything.
Thank you, sir. So glad that you joined
Thank
us tonight,
you.
And we wish you well.
Thank you so much. All right. Take
You're
care.
Welcome. That is Steele Smiley, by the way. And if you don't know Crispin Green, let me tell you, just you'll run into it. All of a sudden, you'll see it and go, what is that? What is that about? So go in and get the story. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in a moment. It is now 8:55 here at WCCO. Welcome back. Of course, Chris Tubbs is driving this ship tonight. And you said that you know Crispin Green. Tell us about your daughter who loves it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have this thing where, you know, every Saturday we used to go out. But because of the pandemic, we haven't been going out. But what we'll do, we will order around, you know, where we're at to help our local businesses. And one of the places that we were curious about, and I know Lake is a big fan of it, is Crispin Green. So we went to the one up in Maple Grove, and the first time that we had it, my daughter loved it. And so that has kind of been like one of our go-to, like healthy takeout, just go grab and bring back to the house. And it is absolutely great. So I can say firsthand that if you have not been to a Crispin Green, you absolutely have to go. I mean, they've got a lot of really good choices. It's fresh. It's healthy. It tastes good. You don't feel like you're eating healthy because it tastes so good.
Yeah. So what did she order the first time?
Oh, I can't remember.
What did you order for her?
Oh, well, my wife does all the ordering for her. but it was just, it had like some chicken, and I think it had like some nuts in it. I can't remember because it was a while back, but it was just like, it was great. I mean, she loved it, and I think my wife had kind of like a something that had like some Parmesan in it, and I had, you know, I kind of like a Cobb salad, and
it was really... You hear a lot about this sort of thing, but this one has been quite successful, and he calls it fast casual restaurant. Quite interesting. All right, you guys, it's time for us to take a break. And then, of course, coming up next is all things arts and entertainment. We call it Center Stage. You do not want to miss it. We're going to have some fun. Kathleen Johnson is joining us. She's doing a show about Etta James. I had a chance to see that show. You do not want to miss it. Rohan Preston, so much more. Stay tuned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.